The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll, and it is Friday, which means, drum roll, please, the Duff McKagan Joke of the Week. Take it away, Duff.
Here we go. What do you call a bear with no ears, Chris Jericho?
I don't know, Duff. What do you call a bear with no ear?
It's called B. Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Wow. Another groaner from Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Duff McKagan. But thanks, Duff, for starting our weekend on a groan. I would expect nothing less. Thank you so much, Duff. And thanks to everyone who's been tweeting your bad jokes to at Talk is Jericho. I'm passing them along to Duff. We'll see if they make his roster of bad jokes, but trust me, he's got plenty of his own. So keep listening, and Duff will keep them coming. All right. It's one of the most popular shows on Netflix. We're talking about GLOW, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. We're going to be here with Kimmy Gatewood and Rebecca Johnson. They are the beatdown biddies on the show. And also, my old friend Chavo Guerrero is the stunt coordinator, wrestling trainer on the series. It's been picked up for season two. It's amazing. Along with Chavo, we got Kimmy and Rebecca, real life comedians and best friends. They had never wrestled before. They got so many funny stories about how they got the gig, training with Chavo, doing matches, working on their gimmick and costumes. Chavito had only 5 weeks to get all of the GLOW girls ready for the ring. You'll hear how he managed to do that. Funny stuff with one of the most popular shows on Netflix, Chavo Guerrero with Kimmy and Rebecca from GLOW. Coming up very soon, very, very funny stuff. Speaking of funny, I'll tell you what's pretty funny. I'll tell you what's pretty great. Fozzy headed back to Europe with Steel Panther. It's going to be some fun there. Seriously rocking good times. We start January 28th in Paris, France. FozzyRock.com has all the details and ticket info. And we're going to be doing more of the special VIP meet and greet pre-shows. It's the VIP Fozzy house party. And you can get your tickets to that at FozzyRock.com as well. We're going to be playing a full mini concert, songs that we're doing later in the set as well, like Judas, still kicking ass in the charts. Number 5 for the second week in a row in the Billboard Mainstream Rock charts. And the album itself is going through the roof. It was top 40. It's also streaming. I'm going to play a song here that we've never played yet on Talk is Jericho. It's the album closer. It's the rocker. Let's hear Wolves at Bay from the Judas record by Fozzy right here on Talk is Jericho.
Pushing, giving me the choice.
That one's a killer. That one's a cracker. That's going to be in the live set very, very soon. Of course, along with Judas, the title track, which is number 5, also on Billboard's mainstream rock chart, and number 5 on the active rock radio charts for the second week in a row. Will it hit number 4? I'm not too sure. Let's give it, keep it going, guys.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this: rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
Talk is Jericho.
No, please do. tell the story one more time, Chavo.
Seasons.
Tell the story, yeah.
All right, so we have Chris Jericho, who's world famous wrestler, one of the best wrestlers of all time.
This is at your house last year, and we did the Eddie Guerrero interview.
Yes, yes, and there, and you got he's a rock star, and you know, Chavo Guerrero. You know, I'm whatever I am, the third generation pro wrestler, and you know, Hollywood.
Hollywood
stunt guy,
legend.
Whatever. Anyways, whatever I am. We did a podcast at my house with me, Chris, and our other wrestling friend, Dean Malenko. And afterwards, Chris slept on an air mattress at my house. And I made him eggs in the morning. We had some, made some coffee, and then he took off.
The eggs were good. The coffee wasn't up to snuff, though.
Yeah.
Mexican style where it's super strong.
Next time he's going to poke a hole in that mattress so it slowly deflates as you're sleeping on it.
Yeah, exactly. He's Canadian. He's used to things not being very strong.
That's right. He's going to steal another pillowcase for his audio equipment.
I was showing you guys my pillowcase audio equipment, which everyone knows about. But this is great because we're here with my good friend Chavo Guerrero, and we got Kimmy Gatewood and Rebecca Johnson. All of you guys on one of the biggest shows on TV right now, Glow. Which is funny because I was watching the show because I'm a big Netflix guy to begin with, and I used to watch the show Glow in the 80s.
Yeah.
And as I was watching, it's funny because you guys are wearing Chavo's gym, boxing gym.
Yeah, from the
I
show.
I saw that, and I went, I had no idea, and I looked it up, and I said,
You didn't know I was on it?
I didn't know.
We weren't allowed to tell anybody anything, though, Chavo. It was a big secret.
I don't think you might have mentioned it in passing, but when I actually texted you and said, are you on Glow? You're like, yeah. I'm like, dude, the whole coordinator for the wrestling.
Yeah.
That's when it all kind of hit me, like, oh, my gosh, this is perfect. And that's why we're here today to talk about Glow.
No, that's perfect.
How'd you get involved with that, Chavs?
I got involved with it. I heard of the project. One of my other friends that's an extra in Hollywood, hey, it sent me the link and said, hey, have you heard about this project? And it was Genji Cohen is going to do, you know, creator of Orange is the New Black is creating Glow, this, you know, based on our, you know, the Glow from the 80s show.
So you're like, hey, babe.
I was like, okay, I have to get a hold of them. You know, so cool. I tried with my connections, people that I know from William & Morris, and she's rep by, I guess, William & Morris, and somebody else at CAC, I think it's Liz.
CAA.
CAC is the Cauliflower Alley Club. Yeah. But CAA, and I think it's Liz and Carly, the other executive
You
producers.
Think? Yes, they are. Yes.
And they, I try to get a hold of them, and, you know, of course, no, shut down, of course not. I was like, well, whatever, I guess it's not. And about a week later, I was on the boat at Lake Powell with my family, and I got a call from Eve Torres. Eve Torres, we used to wrestle
former
with.
Diva, WWE champion.
Yeah. Okay. And she did a stunt. She did some extra a work on Supergirl. And Shauna Duggins, who at the time, well, Shauna Duggins was the extra, was the
double.
Was his double for the actress. Well, now Shauna is got hired as the stunt coordinator on the show, and she's smart. And she knows that, well, it's a wrestling show. Let me get somebody to come in here and help with the wrestling stuff. So she called me and goes, hey, are you interested in, you know, maybe coming and interviewing for this Glow thing? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
At what point did you tell them that your uncle, like, trained the original Glow Girls? Like, minute one or?
Guerrero was the trainer on the original.
Yes, my Uncle Mono was the original trainer. So I told Shauna that, and we're talking, and Shauna knows everybody in the stunt world. So I said, just so you know that I'm not a douchebag, call, you know, Mike Smith and call Matt Taylor. She's like, oh, yeah, Matty Taylor. I know Matty. I work with them on Grimm. On Grimm, yeah.
Okay.
And they actually got me into Stunts Unlimited, which is in the directory.
Union or something.
You can buy all the stunts.
Yeah. Unlimited. Unlimited stunts.
For $8.99.
As many stunts as you want.
It's a stunt group.
Do you want someone to fly into a barn? Unlimited!
And how many can I buy?
Unlimited!
One, two, three. Unlimited!
And not only do you get one, you get a whole nother one. But wait.
Just two?
But wait.
There's more.
So that kind of happened, and then I got into the room, and when I got into the room, of course, it was to interview with Genji and Liz and Carly and
Tara,
and all the other,
right, yeah.
Tara and everybody was there. And then, you know, I said, well, my uncle was the original trainer. Oh, get out of here. No way. And then it also helped that one of the writers, his name's Christopher Diaz, wrote a play called The Legend of Chad Deity that was a wrestling play.
Oh.
Based it on me. That there was this,
really?
This was from his words, not me. Based it on me. Basically, he said.
Basically, what I'm saying, guys, is I'm an inspiration.
Basically, he said, look, sometimes there's people that are so good at what they do that there's nobody else can make them look good. They're in a rut. They make everybody else look
good. You're a hell of a hand kid.
And they're a hell of a hand kid. Exactly what it was. Ah. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. And I'm like, hey. So he was a writer on the show and walked in, and as we're talking, he's standing there, and they go,
that's
hey,
so cool.
He wants to say hi, and I was like, wait a minute, I know, we met, and she's, and then that helped.
Sure.
He wrote a play.
About you?
About,
yeah,
wow.
That's insane.
But still.
About me.
I mean, that happens to me like once every three meetings is someone will have written a play about me.
Yeah.
So that got me the job.
Yeah,
exactly. So talking
that's
about you guys.
That's unbelievable, Chava. I never
heard
talk
that. About you.
Obviously, you guys know each other. You've got great chemistry. I know you're in a comedy troupe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it troop with an E?
Yeah, you can put an E on there.
Troop like,
it could be troop Beverly Hills or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we're in a comedy group called the Apple Sisters, which we've been doing for 10 years. We both did comedy in New York and moved
out
to LA together.
The Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, if you're familiar.
And the Pit in New York.
UBC,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, UCB.
Yeah.
In fact, my first.
I almost got
Wait, let me retake it.
I'm a Groundlings guy, so there's
I hear you. Oh, that's cool.
Did you study at the Groundlings? Oh, that's so cool.
Get out of town. You know what? I think all wrestlers are so funny and have such amazing charisma. It does not surprise me that you did the Groundlings.
Well, there's a lot of improv involved.
And yeah.
Yes.
When I went to Groundlings with Mindy Sterling, who she was the Frau.
Yeah.
Austin Powers.
Yes. I think she ended up I can't remember who she was, banging somebody, maybe banging Dr. Evil.
Oh, I thought you meant in real life. And I was I'm sure she's banged someone.
She said, you know, wrestlers have a great penchant for improv. You guys know, like, skills 8, 9, and 10, you don't know skills 1, 2, and 3. And that's where I learned the foundations of improv comedy and committing, which is so much part of playing a character, which we do in wrestling. Are you guys
totally.
Acting? You're committing to the part. So when you guys heard it, you've been a team, you're a wacky duo. The wacky duo.
Thank you. I'm going to put that on my resume.
Chris Jericho.
Wacky duo.
They're a wacky duo, Chris Jericho. How did you find out about GLOW? How did it come across your collective desks? Or maybe across your literal desks? I don't know.
I don't have a desk. I put my computer on my lap.
Okay.
I'm killing my sperm count.
No.
I don't have sperm.
You're good.
Basically, you know, we've been auditioning for many years, like usually separately and usually for the same part.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, because they're like, do we want like short
wacky
hair, wacky duo, or do we want brown hair, wacky duo?
Wacky single,
And, you know, it's very rare that you get to audition together, especially with someone you've been doing comedy for so long. So when the Apple Sisters moved out here, there's three of us. They moved out here 8 years ago, I think. And then Rebecca and I moved to L.A. and our third one moved to Las Vegas. So Rebecca and I have been doing videos and just like stupid stuff for many years. So when Jen Houston, who cast the show, she also cast Orange is the New Black and Girls, she saw us in New York doing the Apple Sisters, remembered us, saw our videos, and then asked us to come in together for the role of Dawn and Stacy.
And the biddies.
Yes.
Yeah. Who eventually become the beat down biddies.
Now the old ladies.
Dawn and Stacy, as described in the original audition, they were 80s stand-up comics that were best friends.
Right. Yeah.
Perfect.
Wow. So when we were auditioning, that's what we thought we were auditioning for. And then we knew that when we were going to like actually wrestle, that we'd play potentially multiple tag team characters. So in the audition, they wanted us to come up with our own tag team like duo, and they sent us the rap from the original Glow just as an inspiration point of like the
How
kinds
does it go
of
like,
stuff.
This is Glow. We yeah. are cool.
Well, now I can only think we of ours. Like, glow, every... glow, 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 glow.
I'm hearing like a wild.
Oh my god, we gotta get the Jericho remix.
I know.
The glow
we need
rap.
The rock remix.
Oh my god,
of,
that would
of
be
glow.
Amazing. Glow. Glow. Whatever.
So we went in and they said come up with a tag team like duo, and we came up with five. And so when we went in, it was like Genji, Tara, Liz, Carly. We said, we have 3 to 5 characters for you. You tell us to stop after 3 if it's too long. And they had us keep going. So we just did
Which
everything.
Did you do?
We did
a couple different ones. Susie Homewrecker.
And I'm Betty Cracker, and this is oil
and vinegar
and they don't mix. And we did that. We played she plays like someone based on her aunt.
Right, yeah.
She did this Aunt Fabulous character.
She's fabulous. This is my little niece. She wants to be a wrestler.
I'm not little, and my name is Star.
She's adorable.
I'm not adorable. I'm gonna headlock you into menopause.
You don't even know what headlocking is. Look at your precious fingers.
Oh my gosh.
Just like crap like that.
Like pig and wrestlers, where I just like flew myself against the wall, and Rebecca did like a jump
I did a jump slip because we're also dancers, so we and
of
you
course.
Know, so we can use that kind of stuff in the rooms. So
you know, it's funny, just
as
a quick
there.
Segue. Chavo mentioned right now that he said, "Oh, these guys are going to be great. I got the beatdown biddies," and I just did an interview with Mike Tyson, which was one of the most pulling teeth interviews ever. The king of one word and two word answers and maybe one sentence. This is the opposite.
And you know,
I just say one word, and you guys just take it. This is the best type of guest. Ever.
You should have seen. We had so much fun because we have, you know, that app on our phone that we'd get all the scenes from the day before.
Oh, the
called?
Dailies.
The dailies. All the dailies. Yeah, yeah, from the day before, and we could look at them and see, you know, just the stunt stuff, but all the other things that the other girls were doing. And when you two were doing the stuff in front of the cameras. That what was that again?
Oh, in episode 3 when we had to do our first like promos.
Oh yeah.
And they let us improvise. So they just wrote like a couple of lines of dialogue, and then they were like, you guys can just do whatever you want. So most of the beat
Nick
down
Jones
bitty
was
dialogue.
Like, this is why we hired you.
Yeah.
Just do whatever you
I
want.
Beat down Biddy's one of your characters.
It
choices?
Wasn't, but then
okay.
they let us really improvise the
they
dialogue
wrote, they
and
gave
come
us
up with
name
their own
Edna
jokes.
And Ethel Rosenblatt, and they said that we were the beat down biddies, and then they said we could just make them
just
whatever
that,
we wanted
yeah.
to.
They,
yeah.
This the dailies were incredible. We would watch them and just like that, and it was another one. Oh my god, like how did they do this? They're so good. Me and Shauna were like the stunt coordinator, were like watch, like god, they're so good. It was really cool, and everybody was really good, but these two had us laughing. We were
it's the chemistry.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
When you guys sign up,
yes.
And you get the gig, and it's almost like the real Glow. Like, when you sign up for this, do yes. you think, okay, there's going to be stunt girls doing the wrestling, or do they tell you, you guys are going to actually be learning how to wrestle and take bumps?
That was kind of one of the things that they said going in there, like, you have to wrestle. Like, you're going to have to learn how to wrestle. And I think that narrowed the pull down, which probably helps. So like, we're dumb enough to
say
like, yes.
We're like, we'll do whatever the hell you want. Put us on TV.
That's the Hollywood rule.
Yeah.
Can you parachute? Of course I can parachute.
Yeah,
as I'm driving home, I'm Googling how to parachute. Like,
you're like, I'm not going to order from Stunts Unlimited. I'm going to do it myself.
Call back.
Get yours now. Stunts Unlimited.
Nice.
Why would they not want to wrestle? I mean, you think, like you said, put me on a Netflix show, I'll do
yeah.
whatever the hell you want.
Yes.
I think, you know, it's intimidating. It was intimidating for me, for sure. But I definitely, like, usually if there's something I'm scared of, like, for so long I was scared of stand-up or, like, being on, even though I do improv and comedy, gotcha. But I was like, I don't want to be on my own on stage.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, then that's the thing I have to do. Mm. And so I was terrified of wrestling, so
we
scared. But then it becomes, like, well, yeah. I have, I mean, I'm not going to not do this.
I got to say, when we found out we were doing wrestling camp, we did 4 weeks with Chavo, Shauna, and Helena. And I thought it was going to be just like someone yelling at us saying, squats.
Get down, give me 21, squats with you. Boom, push-ups.
You're
chin-ups.
Terrible. You're
like
terrible.
Real wrestling school.
That's what I thought wrestling school was going to be. And then Chavo comes in. He's like, all right. We're going to do footwork.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He put on a very mousy voice.
Yeah. What's your mindset? I mean, now you know what your job is. It's not just a stunt coordinator, because wrestling training is different from that. And you have 12 complete amateurs.
Absolutely.
With good intentions. But what was your mindset to get this going?
So I came in. Traditionally, wrestling, as you know, they beat the crap out of you. They almost try to get you to quit wrestling.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the old wrestling mentality. They get you to quit wrestling, and only the best of the best will make it.
Yeah.
It's like acting school a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell you you're terrible.
Yeah.
You're horrible. You're terrible. And it's kind of the same in wrestling. And I didn't want that. I wanted these girls to fall in love with wrestling. I really wanted them to love this sport, because the sport is so great.
Well, plus, you can't chase them away because they're cast.
Yeah, right.
You better not chase them away.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be fired. I'd be gone. Yeah, I'd get a good job. But then I had to produce wrestlers, too. I had to produce girls that okay, yes, they're wrestling in a scene, but they're doing all of their own stunts. These girls are doing every one of their own stunts. I had to train them from the basics. I had to train them from footwork to rolling to bumps. We didn't even hit the ropes for like 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, right.
Finally started hitting the ropes and that kind of stuff.
That's when the bruises really started.
But it's so funny, though, because it's like mirroring real life, because you guys on the show, the characters are learning how to wrestle. So it's kind of like a you know, Seinfeld's in Seinfeld playing Seinfeld, but he's not really Seinfeld type of thing.
So in the show, after we trained them for 5 weeks, they got really good. I mean, the first day they didn't know how to get in the ring. They were looking at me like, how do we go under the rope?
What rope do we go into? Is there a door? Is there a gate? Can you open the gate so I can get in?
Yeah. They didn't know until 5 weeks later. They got really good. In fact, this real quick story, it was 10 days in, and we're going over like some pins or something like that. And everybody goes, oh, well, how do you win? I said, I said, what? Yes. I go, do you guys know the rules of wrestling? They say no.
No.
I just assumed they knew, you know, 1, 2, 3, or disqualified, or submission, or counted out. So I had to stop practice and explain all of the rules to them. This is already like 2 weeks, something in, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, is that how you pin somebody? Oh, we weren't sure. And so then going back.
Oh, yeah, because we were pinning each other face forward. Like, I remember that's what happened, is that one of us pinned another one, like, facing down.
On their back.
And you're like, that's not.
Your shoulders are down. Yeah.
Shoulders
we're
not
like,
boobs.
Why do your shoulders have shoulders, to be down? Yeah. Well, she's down.
Yeah, she's down. I'm shoulders, on top of her.
Shoulders not boobs, girls. That's
So the first episode, you see them not being good in the ring. We had to have a practice with them not being good now. Mm. Okay, well, forget what you've learned, but don't forget too much. I don't want you to get hurt. Remember how you first hit the ropes? How would you hit the ropes? How would you do this?
Oh,
how would you?
Because you're filming out a sequence.
So we trained them for 5 weeks when they got good, and then the first episode when we shot when they weren't supposed to be good,
we unlearned
this stuff, but don't really unlearn it. Just unlearn
it. So how was it for you guys, never really knowing much about wrestling and getting in there? What was hard? What did you pick up quicker?
It was funny, like, having to just be like, all right, I'm going to try a forward roll. And that was like, you're like, really? I have to do a forward roll? And then you're like, I don't know if I can really do a forward roll anymore. You know, just those basics. And then I have to say back bumps were the scariest thing to kind of have to face. And it just became one of those things. The longer we waited to do it, the more it kept building up on our heads, especially just taking the pads away. Because we started like these 1.5 foot pads and then down to, you know, smaller, four inch. And then the first time you actually hit the canvas, it's like, it was so scary. I just kind of was like, you know, but then when you did it, you're like, I want to do it again.
Yeah. And all of us, I think we had such a great camaraderie, like with the group. And so if you had a hard time doing something, like everybody was on your team. It was like you had 14 cheerleaders, you know, and the coaches too. It's not like people are yelling and screaming at you. It's like everybody believed that you could do it. So then it made you believe you can do it. And so like Kimmy, so her and I being partners is funny because she was definitely the best wrestler, except for Kia Stevens, who's a professional.
Right, right,
Kimmy, they called her Kimmy one time because she'd get everything on the first time,
hey,
and I was the worst. I was literally the worst, no. And so it would be like Kimmy bumping and me like 3 weeks later finally bumping, like, no. And I'd be like, me, like, oh, Ethel doesn't, she doesn't wrestle, actually. Maybe I'll just be an announcer.
Wait, is this just like the
I'll
real
color
women
commentary
who are, like,
it's
the,
funny.
Like,
when
the
I went
housewives.
To wrestling school myself, I had a guy that was Lance Storm. Yeah. We trained at the same time, and he was so much better than me at all the athletics. And it drove me nuts. I was better than all the other stiffs, but I was not better than him.
Right.
That pissed me off. Did you have the same thing?
Yeah, I didn't need to be better than her. I needed to be like just even five steps below her, but like not just like so far behind where I was just like, but it was me in my own head. I was really wasn't an athlete. I was more of a dancer. So it was, I was in my own head thinking I couldn't do it. Once I believed I could, then I actually did. And now I'm obsessed with, like, I seriously watch wrestling all the time now, and I'm looking at moves and being like, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm probably never get to do them except in practice.
But
you know,
have,
I don't know if the old ladies will be doing back bends and pinning people.
I explained to them, I said, don't worry, if you can't get something, not all of us pro wrestlers can do every single move. There's some things that we're good at and some things that we aren't good at. So we show our strengths and we hide our weaknesses. And it's the same, I explained to them, I'm going to do the same thing with you girls. Don't worry. If you can't get a back bump right, we won't have you back bump in that scene. Because the writers and director have an idea, and then I would talk to them. And what do you have an idea? Okay, like, how about, and I would give different examples.
Here's
of what
we
you
want
do.
For the match. How do we get there?
Yes. Then basically, I'd say, okay, well, who do we have in the match? Who do you have to? Okay, so this is what they do good. This is what they don't do good. Let's have them do, and I'd put the matches together, and they would say, okay, camera-wise, the directors would look at it and say, okay, how about we have them do this, and then I'd have to rechange that match and just change different moves and different, like,
sure,
sequences.
You know what people can do. Like, for
example,
I'm 6-time world champion, blah, 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 blah. I can't do a leg drop.
Can oh, my
never
gosh.
Never do a leg drop. Will never do a leg drop.
Right.
I think, like, if I was first day of wrestling school, if you can't do that leg drop, kid, you're not going to make it. I couldn't.
And
right.
You can't really do
oh
a shooting star press either.
Yeah, shooting star press. You won't have to worry about it.
Look at that scar. Look at that scar.
What is a suicide press? Forgive me.
Shooting star press.
Oh, shooting star
press. Like a gainer off a diving board. We need Chavo's action figures to show you how it goes.
Standing in the ring, facing in the ring, and then doing a
jump out like this.
Flip.
Oh, and landing on someone.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about the character development. So when you guys finally get the gig and you've had all these great ideas for characters, Betty Crocker is amazing. but they say, okay, you're going to be the beatdown biddies. And you're like, well, what are they? And they say, okay, how did you create the characters of that?
Well, they put us in, the costume certainly helped. They put in these cotton ball wigs.
You guys look nothing like that.
Well, and our regular John and Stacey characters like have side mullets, which they cut into our hair.
I know.
And
that's
like
our real hair.
But I think because Kimmy and I have done improv for so long and sketch comedy, like as soon as we sort of saw the cotton ball wigs or heard beatdown biddies, suddenly we just started doing these voices. Like,
you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of talk about, like, you know, in a duo, you want to have like a straight man, funny man, or just like some kind of difference between the two of them. So it's
this
like
was Edna. All day, every day, by the way.
And I would be like, oh, I have tendonitis.
Tendonitis? I got 12 tendonitis.
And like, just go like that. We'd make up a bunch of jokes like that. And I really did have tendonitis in my knees, so we'd take stuff from real life and put it in.
She really did have 12 tendonitis.
Yeah, she really did. Hers was way worse. See, right, she's always better than me.
It's in my saggy boobs. It's in my saggy vag. It's in my saggy knees.
Jericho doesn't want to hear about that. He doesn't want to hear about your saggy vag.
Uh-oh,
I'm going to get put on the list. Right, don't put me on the list.
She goes, let's see. They are wrestling fans now.
They
look at that,
now,
huh?
So who picked up the wrestling quickest out of all the cast besides Kaya?
They were all about the same. And then once we started getting into move sequences and stuff, and that's when Miss Kimmy
one time.
Kimmy one time, we caught a caller, started getting it down. And I actually, at one time, I asked her, I go, do you have a photographic memory? And she's kind of like, yeah, kind of. So she would watch it one time, and she would just get it. It wouldn't have to be like, okay, stop and stuff. So she would actually and lead the other girls. Kia, of course, Kia Stevens, one of the best. Actually, pro
Kong.
Women
wrestlers.
Awesome Kong and Karma.
Pro wrestlers in the world,
which
one of the best.
I didn't even notice that was her until you told me.
That hair.
That no hair.
Yes.
That hair. I know. Meeting the dreaded Kia versus Claire Huxtable Kia was like.
That's great call.
Insane.
I had no idea.
I didn't know her like that either, though, because I knew her as Awesome Kong, this killer.
Yeah.
And I met her backstage once or twice in WWE, but she was kind of in and out. But then when I got on set, she's amazing. She's so sweet. She's so.
I was laughing. Remember, the awesome. Day I found out, as I just watched the part where she goes, I'm going to watch my stories.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, that's her? She's hilarious.
Yeah, she's really funny.
That, right?
She did, I think, something at the Groundlings, too. She took like a class or two there. But she has never been on outside of wrestling, like never acted in anything.
But her mother did.
But her mom did. And she is so funny.
She acted as a child, she said.
Oh, yes.
As a child, she was.
Because she's from L.A. So I think it's just like it's in the streets.
Yeah. She's very good.
Yeah. Oh, she's
very
great.
Good. I did a podcast with Mark Maron, and her and I were on the same podcast, so I listened to hers. And she said that, that when she did her scene with Mark, she had a scene with Mark, and she was super, super nervous, super nervous. And Mark's like, you killed it. You did great. I was trying to keep up with you.
Well, he did a great job on the show. He was kind of one of the stars of it. And how was it working with him? And how was it getting the chemistry with the cast? In such an ensemble.
It was cool. I mean, in terms of the girls, like the fact that we all got to wrestle together, like no matter what, if they were big
like
celebrity
the
or
team building exercise.
Yeah.
Learning how to wrestle.
Trust falling for four weeks, right. Basically. So that was awesome. And then when Mark was brought in, I think he was a little intimidated by the, because we were all bonded already. Mm. And then he comes in,
hi, Rebecca. How are you? Oh my God. Hi. Oh my God.
And Mark would be like, I'm sitting over there. But he was great. That. And we're fans of his. And so I would just ask him about his podcast.
He's
just
so good in that part.
He's so good.
It's crazy.
He came out, right? How was he in that part?
Tremendous.
He's great, right?
Like I said, I wanted to watch the show because it's not just because it's wrestling related, but anything that kind of mainstream on that. But plus, I really was a fan of the GLOW show. But then you watch it, and it's so deep. Like there's so much, like it just kicks off with, you know, chick is banging the other chick's husband, and they're divorced, and there's a baby, and then she needs to get an abortion. It's like, this is not what I was expecting, but that's what makes it so deep and successful, I think, is because it has that vibe to it.
I mean, you guys must have sort of stories like that.
Yeah.
You guys have had abortions, both of you.
Yeah.
There's some things
you can stay in. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
What happens in wrestling stays in wrestling. Yeah.
So what did you guys think when you started reading the scripts and saw how deep they were?
It was so exciting.
After seeing the documentary, I think.
Oh, did you watch the documentary?
Yeah.
I watched the documentary.
Were you familiar with GLOW at all?
Yeah, we watched it as kids.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Little kids, yeah.
I would watch it after my piano lesson. Literally, my piano teacher, who was like 16, she would let me hang out, and I was 5, and we would watch GLOW, and I remember just being like, this is dirty. Like, what am I watching? But I loved it. I was like, she's naked on a horse. Like,
totally.
Did you used to watch it, Chavo?
I loved it. Why? Because I was a kid, and then my Uncle Mondo was the trainer, so I knew all about GLOW. I remember him not, should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Because the way women's wrestling was looked at back then was, okay, there was a one match on a show that was the women, and they were a novelty.
Now there's two.
Lesbian
looking. Yeah. There was a novelty or something, that's it. But this was a complete show about women wrestling. So he's like, should I do this? Should I
Is
not
it good
do this?
For my credibility?
Yeah. Right. So my grandfather told him, he goes, heck yeah, take it. Take it all. Go get it. So he ended up doing it.
Amazing.
He was only the trainer for like the first 6 months.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Talk is Jericho.
Who were your favorite characters on the show? I always loved Mount Fuji.
Oh, yeah. Loved her.
Man. And the documentary, man, that really put it all.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That,
well, she was
that
like in
my
wheelchair
heart.
And all that stuff.
Oh,
and
yes.
Just happy. And what was the other, the old lady, like the kind of the old witchy lady with the red hair, whatever.
Oh, What is her name?
Attila the Hun.
Matilda the Hun.
Yeah. Who was yours?
Well, you know, I think I'm partial to the Housewives.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say that. Yeah. Based on that.
But, like, because once we were cast, because I remember it. So, what I remember most was Godiva from when I was a kid. But then, in watching the documentary after we were cast, especially, but like watching them, I was like, they're so funny and like so creative with all the different props. And I love that they got to play, you know, multiple characters. Mm-hmm. So, and the Housewives weren't really good or bad. They were always like, you know, in the middle, so they can go either way.
Right.
And I just thought they were so funny. So they had to be my favorite.
I remember Hollywood and Vine so distinctly.
Yeah.
I think just because, like, when you're a little girl, you're like, I want to be like Madonna.
Yeah.
They were like wearing lingerie.
Right.
Kimmy, as a kid, wanted to wear lingerie, guys. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. No problem. Everybody
I was a really sexy trombone player.
I played trombone too.
Yeah, you do. That's awesome. I still play the skin flute.
The bagpipes.
Chavo.
Hey,
Chavo needs to go to the Groundlings.
Everybody watched Glow, though. All these famous people are coming out of the woodworks. I mean, really. I saw Kelly Ripa was talking about it with Ryan Seacrest, and how they were talking about, like, everybody were like these closet fans, like they watched it. They didn't know why they're watching it. Like, guys didn't know why you watched it. Not the girls watched it because of the empowerment, you know, of women, and it was like, oh, I guess I can do this. Well, I've never seen women do this before, so it was kind of such a groundbreaking show that didn't know that it was going to be like.
Yeah,
that.
If you didn't have Glow, you had Roller Jam, which was the
roller derby,
modern 80s roller derby.
Yes.
That Warrant appeared on.
Was it on TV?
Yeah, it was on the same time as Glow.
Oh, I don't remember.
I think
that.
We had one after the
Canadian
other.
Canadian thing.
But I like, yeah, maybe it was a Canadian thing. I like the fact, though, that they base it on the original Glow, but there's all different characters.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was kind of a cool mix of it.
It's like a cool inspiration, and then they get to pull from inspiration from like all different wrestling stories. Even just us in episode 7 doing the KKK, like that's based on a real match, you know, not in women's wrestling.
What?
So yeah,
it's based on a real match.
It is.
Someone actually dressed up.
Who was it? Jim.
It was
Neater. What's his name? Jim.
And Virgil versus
Virgil.
Yes,
based on a real
dark.
Thing.
Our Virgil.
Yes, our Virgil.
Look it
yes.
up. It's
our
dark.
Our version with the big hog.
That's it.
He did a match against the KKK.
It
guy.
Was yeah.
He got lynched at the end of it.
It was.
It was
sick.
Messed up.
It was in 1994.
I'd never. They must have paid him a lot of money for that. Yeah. He got lynched at the end of it.
Yes. It was so messed up.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So you guys are working against Welfare Mother and...
Welfare Queen and Junk Chain.
Junk Chain, a couple African-American chicks.
Yeah.
And they want to spice it up. They don't want to work against the beat-down biddies.
Yeah.
So they suggest
they
you put
on
these...
They don't want to beat up a bunch of old white ladies,
costumes.
Is what they say.
Right. So they end up dressing you guys up in...
Yeah.
As KKK. Clans people.
Yeah. And when Kimmy and I found out we had to do this, and Travo is integral in this part of the story.
Indeed.
Like, whenever we were going to have a match, they'd set up a practice. And so they told us in practice we were going to get to fight, like, Sadal and Kia. And we were excited to have a match.
Obviously, I love, like, wrestling Kia is the most fun.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
She's so good.
So cool.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. And Sid is so strong, too. So it's just like, it was just great. So we're excited. And we're, like, thinking we're going to be the biddies. And we're like... They're like, oh, you're going to be the bad guys. They're like, you're going to be the bad guys. We're like, but the biddies are our faces. Like, what do you mean we're going to be heels? Like, and then they're like, oh, we're not going to tell you. And Chavo and Shauna were like not
just
saying
giving
anything.
Just kept giving a super
being
side
weird.
Eye.
They were being like weird about it. And then Kimmy.
Oh, so you knew?
Yeah.
I get the scripts before everybody. So I couldn't tell them because I had already read the scripts.
Yeah.
Because I had to. Do the wrestling lingo and get that out.
You're totally in the office now.
And even like Shauna would read it. She's like, what is this KKK? So I said, I had to explain it to Shauna because they're stunt
Shauna
girls.
Is
the stunt coordinator.
Because they're from the stunt world. So they're kind of like, this weird. I said, well, that's how wrestling was in the 80s. I mean, it was very, any of, like, you know, Russia versus,
that's
you know,
true, yeah.
USA versus Iran. And there's very anything.
Yeah.
Very like that. So, then we had the girls, and they're like, "What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?" I said, "You'll find out." So, how did you find out?
Kimmy looked over your shoulder at the script and saw KKK.
I did.
Kimmy
did.
And then she goes, "We're KKK. We're KKK."
I gotta kayfabe that much more next year. I'm good.
I don't think it was yours. It might have been
Shauna's.
KKK stands for Kimmy.
Yeah. A lot of, so we're doing jazz hands. Okay, great.
Then you saw us, Kimmy and I, literally, it was mirrored the show. Kimmy and I were like whispering and all scared. And then he goes, you guys get a scene where you talk about you how you're nervous about it. He's like, you're not actually like racist. Like, it's going to work out.
That's right. I told you
because you saw us. You knew that we knew. And you were like, listen.
It's their idea.
Right. We didn't know, though. We thought Dawn and Stacey were then suddenly racist. We didn't.
Okay, gotcha. We thought they were revealed to be racist all of a sudden.
Yeah,
and we were like.
It was like our idea.
Yeah.
We need to boost the old ladies.
Yeah.
The old, oh, we forget the racist old lady.
Well, yeah. I was like, I don't want to improvise racist dialogue. You know what I mean?
From Dalton, Georgia.
And then I brought up my Kerwin White episode.
Oh, yeah.
In WWE, where I kind of had to denounce my
heritage. That's right.
Them. Look, I had to do this.
Was that your idea?
No, God, no.
Of course it wasn't his idea.
Well, I don't know if Kerwin you were like, was, I have a great idea.
Kerwin was one of the producers of the show that was one of Vince McMahon's job boys.
But I told Vince, Kerwin, this is Vince talking to me, you're going to denounce your Hispanic heritage today and you're going to become white.
Yeah.
I was like, I could either quit or
right.
say no. Or be fired. I'm like, so basically I told him, look, if we're going to do this, do it right. I want to end up coming out in a white hood at the end of this. And he was like, I love it. That's great.
I love it.
And it didn't happen. It was a little too risky.
Well, because you know, the voice of reason of the whole entire company came into play there. But you have to see that Chavo's got the right point. You're playing a part.
Yeah.
In a role.
That's it. Yeah.
And if the role calls for you to be Kerwin White, the role calls you to be KKK, you do it, or else they get somebody else. I always say, like, if you're in a Steven Spielberg movie and, you know, you get shot in the first scene and go, my character's too smart to get shot right there. We can find the hell out of here and bring in the other asshole to play the shot.
Yeah. Well, and we weren't, it's not that we were like, we're not going to do this. I think it was just a little like, especially us being over the top comedians that suddenly learning that we're going to fight that way without reading the script, we were just nervous about it. Chavo kind of like assuaged our fears, and then we talked to Liz and Carly.
I was like,
and
this is how wrestling really is. It was cool, and it ended up being really fun.
The racial overtones, I thought of it more from the comedy overtones of watching you guys actually trying to have a match wearing hoods.
Oh, it was that so was, hard.
It watching so it was so funny, and it turned out so
funny. And that's how they
played
the scene.
That's what I was trying to explain to them, too. I was like, guys, we're going to make it good.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was trusting in the editors and the directors, too.
Dude, totally. Like, it's a suddenly dramatic scene where we just come out and just beat the crap out of the girls. It's like, oh, God.
What happened?
Yeah.
So when you guys are doing the matches, for example, the KKK match, are you actually doing it? Or is there somebody underneath the
hood? No, it's us.
Oh, that's you?
That was us.
That was us. I know. That was funny because it's like, it's our big match and nobody will know it's us.
they did all their own stunts.
Yeah, we did.
All the girls did their own stunts.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of the beauty of the show.
Yeah.
This is all real.
Yeah. So, very, very important to the creators, too.
So when you're doing a match, let's say Chavo and I have to go do a match and we have 10 minutes, we go through a match, we get it done. How long has it taken you guys to film a match Hollywood style?
Well, we practice for probably 4 hours total, right? And then
we shoot one episode a week, one episode every 6 days, basically. So when I'd have a concept meeting first, and then a production meeting, and then we would kind of get an idea of how I want to go with the matches, and I'd give it to the producers, and they'd say yes, that's cool. And then we give it to the director, and we'd change some things out. So I would kind of walk them through the director. Everything that the girls are going to do, like, okay, that sounds good. And then it would just change on that day. But then I had basically 5 days to teach these girls. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have, 2 hours a day?
Maybe. Not while we were shooting. 4 hours
total. At that time, we're filming. So this is in between filming. So it's like...
On our day off.
It's a day
whatever,
off. Yeah. So literally...
scenes to film in the motel or whatever. Then after that, you got to come work on Chavo.
And then when we shot it, they shoot it from all different angles and stuff.
And some
fights are like on, you know, shot with a crane. Mm. And so basically you do it multiple times. But it's not like a 12-minute match like you're doing. You know what I mean? It's much shorter.
It's harder. They don't understand.
Repetition over and over in a whole day.
You've wrestled on camera before, right? I mean, like in a
movie.
So it's a much easier to do our 12-minute match where we go out there and kill each other for 12 minutes and we're done,
right?
As opposed to a small sequence over a 4 hour period or 6 hour period. Okay, then lunch and then come back, do it again.
Come back,
and I'm like, it's so much harder. So I was explaining to the girls, like, how about we do this movement? I said, you can do it once or twice. Let's do it over 5 hours. Oh, God, that's right. You're going to have to do it over and over and over again. We don't have to. Let's figure some other things out that you don't have to kill yourselves.
You know, it's interesting. I did Dancing with the Stars a few years ago, and it's the same schedule.
What?
Yes, I did. I'm a dancer,
too. Love that show.
Yes, I did.
I know.
But it was 6 days a week of learning the dance to perform it on day seven.
Yeah.
But once again, it was more of a combination of what you're talking about, because we would rehearse, then do the dance, but it's live.
Yeah.
It's
right.
a 90-second performance. Right on. But it took 6 days of rehearsal to get it.
Right.
You guys are having almost the same thing, but less time actually getting a chance to go over the matches and get it right. But it looks good, though, because it's still the concept of GLOW is that these girls are all learning together. You're not supposed to be, you know, Chavo Guerrero in the ring. If you were, it would look stupid. Like, even Kia, she doesn't look like she's been wrestling for 10 years, because if she did, it would take you out of the of the element.
We had, she's so good that we didn't have to dumb her down, basically, as far as her wrestling knowledge. She knew how to sprinkle in just a little bit here and there.
Right, she 80s it up.
Story. So when Britt is the
she's Justine
on the show,
which is the
Justine was the daughter of Sam, of the promoter.
Carlito's her brother. And,
yes. Yeah. No. Not the Carlito's
daughter of the promoter.
That not the daughter of daughter wrestler, but
oh Mark, yeah. Mark gotcha. Maron's like daughter. Like punk
yes,
rock
yes,
the
punk rocker. Yes,
scars.
Yes,
scab.
Yeah.
So she started two days late, maybe.
Yeah,
2 days
yeah.
late, she was on.
She was cast last minute. She was cast like the day before.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So we all got in the ring, get our stretches out and stuff, and I said, okay, and I was explaining something. And I said, "Here, Kia, come here." So I'd get Kia, and I did like a little sequence. Like I just called it, like, you know, give me a tackle, this and that. And all the girls were like, oh wow, because they got sick.
They were like pulling each other's hair. Oh, Kia's, they both looked like they were really beating the shit out of each other.
Oh my god, like wow. And then we looked at Britt, and Britt was like this,
mouth agape.
Oh no, don't worry. I go, Kia's a real wrestler, one of the best wrestlers in the world. She goes, oh my god, I thought you learned all this in 2 days.
Yeah.
She's like, what am I going to do? She was like,
it was so funny. I mean, hilarious. Even for us who knew that Kia was a wrestler, it was so
I think that was
cool
the first time you actually saw her wrestle do her thing, right?
And yeah.
It was something we just do like a clothesline tackle sequence, whatever. I don't know. We just
something
did
pretty easy.
Something pretty easy. But, you know, we went for it, and she's tie up like a guy, like a strong guy. Well,
but you have to think about it too. We're watching a man and a woman beat each other. So even though we know, it's still like, even though I know that in wrestling there's always like matches where like different genders play with each other, but I'm like, oh my god, like he's fighting her, he's hurting her.
You
like,
see it up close. What was it like for you guys, kind of in the locker room, so to speak, behind the scenes?
Oh, you mean like actually just hanging out or whatever?
Yeah, like were you guys like when you're training to wrestle, you guys are not only on set to learn the part, but you also have to learn this whole extra element. Is it backstage? Is there like, is everyone kind of like, this is great, this sucks, I hurt, I don't want to do this?
No, I mean,
everyone was excited.
Everybody was very excited. This is like, I would say, a big break for everybody in the show. Again,
it
mirrors.
There's no big quote-unquote stars besides
like Alison, Brie and like Betty Gilpin. They're big actors, but this is for everyone, it's sort of a step up. So like, this is the first time Alison's the star of a show, but she's been in lots of movies. She's on Mad Men, Community. Betty's worked for years. So for everyone, this was like a different, cool step up.
And such a challenge physically. Like as an actor, you just welcome these challenges. Well, there's certain type of actors who do. And,
you
know, we're all just like nursing bruises and stuff, and like
they were pissed,
you know?
When they didn't have longer wrestling scenes.
It's true.
How come my wrestling is not that long? They're pissed. Like, they wanted longer matches.
When someone's moves got cut, like, because when in episode 7 we're all wrestling, like, then you guys had to cut down some of the matches.
Yeah,
people were upset, like crying. like being like, I thought I was going to get to do that finishing move, and now I can't do it. And like, we were genuinely into it. And then we all are really close friends. We have a text chain. We hang out with each other. I feel like it's similar to the way you guys are when you're on tour. You're like all hanging out with each other all the time. So
it's something that only you guys will ever know what the experience of it is really like.
Yeah.
Tell me about when the show came out, because obviously it did something kind of different that Netflix likes to do, is all at once binge watching.
Yeah.
But it really hit hard. Like, it really spread to where it became the talk of the town.
Oh, man. I mean, when you're in these shows, you never know, like, if people are going to like it or not, because the camaraderie was real. Like, we had so much fun. We really believed in, like, everything that we were saying. Like, the scripts were amazing. But you don't know, like, I don't know. What if Korea bombed LA?
You don't know what's going to happen. You know, and I got to tell you why. Do you all remember when I stopped practice one time and I looked at y'all? Because this was already like 4 weeks in or whatever. I hadn't seen the scripts really or anything. And I stopped because all the girls were so amazing. And I said, you understand that this show is going to be a hit because of you girls.
Mm-hmm.
Once the world sees you girls, they're going to fall in love with you. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I was so serious because I was like, it's giving me chills now because I was like, just the dynamic of them working together. It wasn't like a catty Orange County Housewives things where someone's talking about this person and that. No, it was everybody was their biggest supporters, and when one person got the move, then they would cheer the next person on. It was so good. I was like, this show is going to be a hit. I hadn't even seen the scripts and everything yet. If once they saw the girls, the world's going to fall in love.
It was great. I mean, you know, to be on a billboard for the first time in our life was pretty wild. And giving my best friend a cunt punch, you know what I mean? My best friend a cunt punch.
Yeah, literally, she's giving me a cunt punch on the billboard. Like, my mom was like, when did you get such a dirty sense of humor? I'm like, I've always had it. You know what? Nobody put it on a billboard before, so I've hid it from you. But too bad, Mom.
It's one of those things, after all these years of being in showbiz, you guys now finally made it, where your mom can go, she's on Netflix now.
Yeah,
like, now
exactly.
You actually are somebody.
Yeah, now, like, people are watching. Like, so many different people are watching it, in terms of like my mom, all her friends, like people I went to high school, all over the place, and really like it. And that's so cool. It's so cool to be on something that people
and you can watch it in one day, 5 hours.
My youngest son's like, Dad, do you understand that you guys got 95 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh yeah.
What's that?
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm like, really? I go, that's so good. Funny. I'm like, oh my God, that's really good. I'm like,
did you let your kids watch it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I did.
They're not that young.
My oldest is almost 18. My youngest is almost 15. So my youngest.
We met them at set.
Close your eyes for a second. Okay.
Yeah. I think they know what an abortion is at this point, or that sort of thing. Talk about the sex. Oh yeah.
Titties.
So Chavo, this is a funny story. So Chavo was involved in the production side of things, and I was in. I was actually working for WWE last year. And we had a show in Edmonton. And I don't really like to audition. Like, you know, I'm just not really my thing.
You should not have to audition. How dare they?
Jericho is offer only.
They said, exactly.
Yes.
And they said, I got this thing for Glow. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. Because I don't do anything because I have to do because I want to. I was like, I like Glow. This would be fun. So I actually set up my little phone in the dressing room in Edmonton after a show in a room by myself. And I auditioned. Steel Horse.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And I didn't get it. And now I didn't get it. Alex Riley got it. He's about a one on the scale of wrestling notoriety. But Chavo said you saw the tape.
I'm into this.
I was in. It's kind of cool because when they were casting this role and a couple other roles, I was in on it. I was there. And I see. Now it's cool because I still do, you know, a little bit acting here and there. And it's cool to see what they want, what they're looking for.
Right.
Oh, that's what the casting agents are looking for. Okay.
It's like the best acting school.
So they were watching and saying, okay, cool. And they're watching, and Chris did great. I mean, I put him over. I know. They're all looking at me like, you know these guys, right? Yes. Okay, he did great.
Did he really?
Audition for it, yep.
Miz must have really hated it because Alex Riley was like his lackey for years.
Yeah. And then Alex, and then some other people too. So we had different people they were doing, and the reason Alex, like, really, y'all were very, very good. Everybody was acting good. But he took it to the next level. In fact, he came out with a bathrobe. And he was kind of in character, like in costume. Mm-hmm. He kind of did it in costume.
How funny.
And they're looking for that. And, you know, Mark did the same thing.
Mark Maron
did the same thing. When he did his, he sat behind a desk, an older desk with different things, and got some old glasses. Went to like a friend of his. This is from him. Went to a friend of his that had these old vintage glasses and got this glasses on and kind of got in character too.
Kate Nash made a whole music video.
It was
literally
so
for
funny.
Her audition tape.
She's the English,
chicken. She's actually like a rock star as well as an actress. She was auditioning from London, and I saw her tape because once, you know, we're all close, then anybody who wanted to show each other our tapes.
It was so cool
and so funny, and she made her own thing. So it was like people who did the extra effort. I think everybody who made the tapes for the because some of the girls were cast
point.
On tape.
Yes,
I've never done that because I said I don't do a
you
lot
just
of
read,
films.
Read, and I, and all the times, it, but I would read too. Like I read the sides, whatever. Like okay, I put up against like a white back on my
that's
back
what
wall,
I do.
Move some pictures down, and just talk and kind of do it. And somebody else reads the things on the side. And gotcha, cool. But it's a little, be a little character. And I just did one, dude. I was just in, like I said, in Bass Lake with a family, and I had a audition that I had to do on tape, and I was like, I got to do it. Okay, great. So I went and got some army fatigues. I was supposed to be this
army guy,
whatever. So I put the arm fatigues, different shirts, and I had a prisoner there, and I slapped him around a little
bit.
Oh,
my God.
Totally did it.
His son.
I didn't get the part, but, you know.
Who did you make your prisoner? Just one of your friends?
My James'
kid?
Son.
Your son?
I slapped him around a little bit. And then he had to read the size, so, you know, so, yeah.
But that's interesting, though. It makes sense. Like, yeah, it's the basic rule of selling yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was just getting out of high school, and you have to have a resume, you would put in a nice little, folder, and you'd put some shit on it to make it look stand up. Because if you get 1,000 resumes, this one's going to be the glittery one, right?
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Classic Jericho glitter envelopes.
Yeah, yes, you know it. Wow, so see, we've learned something here today,
guys.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. I feel like I've never done that. When I put myself on tape, I never get a job. And it's probably because I did the same white wall thing. Me either.
I've done a bunch of like the ones on tape. And you're like, oh, okay. I'd rather sometimes do it on tape because I don't have a casting agent or casting lackey looking at me, like going, like reading the signs all like, okay, well, she went here. Right.
Have you ever done one where they're eating? Because I have.
Yeah, there'll be auditions where people are on their phone.
Have you ever done one where they answer?
On the phone.
Have you ever had one where they answer the phone during your audition?
Yes, I have. Guilty. New York commercial castings.
And then they walk.
Let's go through coolest audition stories here. I got to tell you guys this one. So there was that movie that came out, Sniper. Who was it? Bradley Cooper was the sniper?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally, yeah.
No, American
Sniper. Was it Bradley Cooper?
American Sniper.
Was that Bradley Cooper?
Yes. Yeah, that was.
So, once again, like, I don't really care for auditioning. I said, the only reason I'll audition is if it's Spielberg. So my dude calls me, he's like, it's not Spielberg, but it's Clint Eastwood.
Why? That's right. I remember you.
Yes.
Oh, my
you
God.
Had an audition for that. You told me.
I went into – Clint's got a whole little village of studios and offices, kind of like this, actually.
Okay, cool.
Like this record company or what's a group of houses. In Warner Brothers lot, and I go over there and I walk inside and there's Clint Eastwood posters all over the wall, and I go in there and I'm reading my little part, and sitting in the back of the room is Clint Eastwood.
Wow.
Because he
crazy.
Wanted to see me. And I don't have any idea why. Clint wants to see you.
He's probably a wrestling fan.
Maybe he is. I didn't get the part. But
I really like that.
Thank
Jericho.
You, Mr. Eastwood.
Holy shit. It wasn't Clinton's daughter was Chelsea Clinton's telling that her mom's a fan of yours?
Bush.
Did you just say Chelsea Clinton's mom? Like, as if you don't know her name?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Laura Bush is a fan of yours?
Not Laura, the daughters, the twins. Lauren.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the names were.
Lauren and Jenna.
The Bushes have connections to wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
my God. You guys got a crazy audition story?
Well, I actually auditioned for Melissa McCarthy's part in Bridesmaids, and I had to, and I got to do, like, the callback and the test. So, like, Kristen Wiig, Groundlings, is one of my heroes, and so it was like a pretty much my first huge audition, like where I'd auditioned for millions of things, but like this was like big deal, like, oh my God, wait a minute, I'm getting like tested for this. I could get this part where I'm in. And so I had to like do the scene with Kristen Wiig. Judd Apatow's right there, and like Paul Feig, and had to like improvise with Kristen Wiig, which is like it's like wrestling with Kia. It's like doing it with the professional, and so it was so cool. And then, of course, I didn't get it. Melissa McCarthy got it, and it makes so much sense when you watch it. Like, but it was all different, many different kinds of comedians there,
cool,
and everyone in the waiting room was famous, literally, except for me.
Remember those?
It was crazy.
Remember blow, so yeah. Suck it.
Remember Melissa McCarthy has not gotten parts too. Like has auditioned and gotten beat out too. So it's like. So you guys learned something.
And then actually the Apple Sisters ended up being in Bridesmaids. We're cut out. We're on the Blu-ray, but we sang at the bridal shower and met Melissa McCarthy.
We're on the we're on the Taiwanese Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
If you guys ever,
it's
the Spanish
Taiwanese.
I edited myself in. It's on 4chan.
you got a crazy one, Kim?
Yes. I tested for Saturday Night Live, which is my dream job.
Wow.
So I got all the way to the last level. And so the way that they do it, they have three levels, right? You send in a tape, then you do a live audition, and then you test. So you're
for
there
for Lauren, right?
Yeah, yeah. Lauren, everybody
in front of a million.
And they have a West Coast feed as well because they're in New York on stage 8H. So I mean, it was like a dream job of mine. That's why I got into comedy. And I waited in Andy Samberg's dressing room for 3 hours because they just with you.
Oh, yeah.
To get, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's like purposeful or they'll just like, they'll do hair and makeup. Will Forte comes in and he's like, have a great audition. You know, he was like so nice.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I go up there on 8H, go through the doors, like what you would dream of ever doing. I did my like 8 minutes or whatever. And then I walked out and then I went to Sarah, who's in the Apple Sisters, birthday. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I was just
kind
screaming
of like
the whole
crazy. Like
I was like, and then I was and then I found out, obviously I didn't get it, but spoiler, but I found out I didn't get it like right near the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was like, I hate the Brooklyn Bridge.
Did you have to do any imitations or anything for your 8 minutes?
I did a couple of strange auditions. I have a really strange sense of humor. I did Judy Garland, who was afraid of the bears.
Let me hear that.
So I was like, hello, I'm Judy Garland. Chris, well, you stay away from me because you're a bear. I can see those big muscles. You just shaved your arms, so your bare arms.
I'm the Wicked Witch of Wrestling.
This so is stupid. Perfect Judy Garland. Stay away from me, old man. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's so strange.
How about you, Chav? Had a weird audition? Or you don't have an audition?
You know, I haven't done a whole bunch of them like that. You know, like I think the ones that they just don't give a crap.
Yeah,
you know? You're sitting there and you're like, I'm like the dude behind the camera just hates his job. Right. It's like going, oh,
that's
my
the,
God.
That's the vibe they give off.
Yeah.
Sometimes, just
like, and I'm like,
yeah.
So it puts me in a negative.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like this motherfucker. I don't need, right? This
you is, think your shit don't
you
stink?
You think your shit don't stink? This is inside talk with me and Chris.
This is Uncle Eddie.
But,
you know, this motherfucker.
This motherfucker. Like, literally, I'm like, then I'm not going to do a good audition. Then I'm just going to, if you're not going to give me.
I don't want, you don't want me.
If you don't care,
you.
Well, then I don't want to be there. I walk out like, that movie's going to suck. Guardians of the Galaxy, what?
You have to treat it like, I bet you, you've been, do it like where you're in a match and the crowd's not on your side and then you get them on your side. That's what you have to do in audition.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's how I got to do it right. Because
right.
Right.
No, the audition guys will never give you any love, man. They just sit there and stare at you.
I did have one. Oh, shit, that's right. Sorry. So I flew in. I was flying in. I had to fly right and go right to my this audition. So I had some, you know, bullshit clothes on. So I ran to Express and, you know, got a couple of little different things and stuff. And I ran in there and the guy I had, it was like for a reality show, and it was like a towing company thing, and I had to be the boss.
For
like a reality
the
towing
tow
show,
truck
and I had to be the boss. So they had like three guys in there, and they were like, one guy had to play like, so if it's a reality show, and these guys really, you know, you're trying to tell them what to do, and they don't really care, you know, how would you treat them? So these guys are really like going like I'm trying to read these lines type thing that they had me say, and these guys really didn't care. Like, yeah, whatever, okay, whatever. And I'm trying. It was an African American guy, a white guy, and some other white guy that was behind a computer, but he was actually just like filming it or whatever. So I'm saying, and the, you know, the kind of guys like, he's like, yeah, you know, I don't care. Well, why would I do that? Well, and I'm kind of getting into the part a little bit, and the African American guy said like a racial slur to me.
Whoa.
Trying to get under my skin. And he wasn't expecting Charlotte Guerrero to come out. And I went, boom, and I went off on him. I started calling him a racial slur too.
Oh,
and
no.
And I hit the table where the computer was at, and I broke the table. The computer fell on the ground. And then all three of them got legit scared. Like legit, they're like, oh, well. And I said, okay, good. You guys are right? Cool. And I broke right back out of character. And they're like, I go, hey man, sorry about your computer. I go, I just get into character sometimes. And they're kind of, and I go to the African American guy. I say, hey, man, no offense. I go, we'll just, right? Just battering back and forth, right? And he's like, yeah, okay. So I walked out of there going, well, I may not have gotten it, but I made them think twice about
just using a racial slur to get you.
I'm glad that you raged out.
I raged out. But I did it controlling, knowing that.
You know, you weren't gonna hurt
her. I knew I wasn't gonna, but I wanted to see all their looks were like this. It was great.
I hope that ends up on some kind of prank reel show or something.
Bad auditions on TBS.
Yeah.
Hosted by Alfonso Ribeiro.
I would just love if you had gotten it, because it would be so confusing for wrestling fans to be like, wait, he works at a tow truck company now? Like, isn't that wait.
Things aren't going well for
him. Oh, he really is a white guy now.
So, Glow, huge success. Is there going to be a season two? Is there talks of a season two?
Ask Chavo.
I know. We don't know anything. They really leave these actors.
Well, we don't know yet. Yeah, girls, what do you think?
I think there's got to be, right? I mean,
Yeah,
there's gotta be.
It's so good. I love the show, and like I said, you know, 95 on Rotten Tomatoes from what my son says. Anyways,
write your senator. See Glow. You know, also global.
Everybody that I've talked to loves it, and got a lot of publicity. So I mean, I really hope so.
It's a talk about show that people that don't even know anything about wrestling are watching.
Oh yeah,
which is always a good thing.
And that's something that we wanted to do. When I was talking to the producers, to Liz and Carly, and they were all for it. And I said, look, we have a built-in audience with the wrestlers already.
Yes.
So we have an audience already, but they're ours to lose. If we don't respect the business.
I told my wife, I'm trying, and you're right about that. Yes. But I'm trying to get her into it by saying, listen, like, this is not a wrestling show.
Right.
Right.
It's like Walking Dead. Walking Dead is not a zombie show.
Right.
It's a drama about people's relationships with zombies in the background.
Exactly.
And that's what Glow is. And like you said, you have to respect the wrestling fans, but we know wrestling fans will watch it. We need to attract
if we would have turned them, the wrestling fans, off, so you're going to lose fans there.
Yes.
And then I go, but I understand you're making a show for the majority world. Of the people that aren't wrestling fans, or they don't know wrestling, so I get it. So, you know, the producers were all about it and let me give my influence, and whether they took it or not, they pretty much did all the time, but they were awesome.
I think
you can
tell
her. Go ahead.
I think it's cool because I think it actually has turned people who weren't normally into wrestling onto wrestling. I mean, not just like the cast,
or vice versa,
but like the fans. I feel honestly like I've heard a lot of people being like, "It's so cool!" Like it makes you much more
respectful of wrestling, because people be like, "Oh, it's fake," or this and that, and you can clearly see that
wrestling's
like
the background to this great drama.
The producers,
it's like an underdog story. I think is what you can tell your wife.
The writers really did their background checks, and they their homework.
We're all murderers. Backstory.
They didn't check you. They ran your credit check. Yeah, they didn't check me.
They checked your credit.
but they did their homework and the research, and they wrote stuff that was true. They hit all points on wrestling. Yeah. Like, is it fake? Is it not fake? Oh, this is bouncy. Oh yeah, this ring's bouncy. Oh, it's made of steel and wood too. And then you know. All different things, like when Betty,
she plays Debbie.
Yeah. She wasn't a fan on the show, and then she got it. Oh, I get it. That's like how people wrestling
like,
fans.
Oh, it's a soap opera.
Yeah, a lot of times you're like, you won't be a wrestling fan, but when you start watching, you're like, wait a minute, I get it. Yeah. Oh, that's what people, when that's it clicks, it clicks. About.
That's right. That's right. What was your favorite last question? What was your favorite episode or favorite part of Glow?
I definitely episode 7 was my favorite because but specifically like I loved that we got to have that scene before the match where we really got to do some real like a Dawn and Stacey like just acting. But my favorite part was at the end. We all came in like doing the rap and like
that was great.
It was just I felt the energy like just being together, and it felt the same as like our characters.
It was real.
So real. It was so palpable. And like watching it, I could feel the same. I just feel it again, like watching it. So, and I think it comes across. So
the
that
extras
was my favorite.
Said the same thing. The extras were like, wow, they got into it. Really got into it. Like, wow,
oh my God.
It was real.
How about you? Yeah. Think? And I mean, the finale, because everybody got to showcase like what we had just been dying to do. And we saw all the characters fully realized.
For real and on the show.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And doing it for 250 real life people who were paid to be there. But
but they got into it.
They're going to do what they're told to do.
Yeah.
It was fun. Like when we were on the side and we're like,
after 3 days.
Well, you know, all that stuff. Like they were like,
they were pumped.
After 3 days of them being there, they're 3 days, or we shot 4 days of the same actors being there, you know, 12 hour days, and they were just tired. But when the wrestling came on, they all pepped up. And I see it every time we do a show with wrestling on it. When the wrestling actually happens, the extras like, woo. And that was awesome.
Get into it, yeah. My favorite scene is when you guys go to Sebastian's party and you all have to be crack addicts and heroin addicts. That was great.
There's
was
drugs great. In the robot.
That was no. When we're all we're saying we're crack addicts.
Crack. Yeah.
When I said my middle name's Crack, but also my first name and my last name.
Yeah.
Crack. With K's, of course.
Yeah.
Nice.
Here we go, guys. Looking forward to season 2. Glow. We're going to call it Global Warming.
Yes.
GLW Warming. There you go. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to Glow. This match is a single feature bout from the South Pacific Islands, managed by Aunt Kitty. Mona, the head.
Good news. There is going to be a season 2 of Glow on Netflix.
All your favorite gals will be back, but you have to wait till next summer to see it. Thanks again to Kimmy Gatewood, Rebecca Johnson, the Beatdown Biddies, and to their trainer, my old brother, my old friend, Chavo Guerrero. Looking forward to seeing more of their matches and more of Chavo's magic. GLOW, the most popular show on Netflix, is returning for a season 2. Good, good stuff. And also returning, even though we've never done it before, super looking forward to Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Remember, as low as $150 can reserve your cabin, can hold your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Everything is included in the price. Remember that. All the food, all the activities, all the live podcasts, stand-up comedy shows, concerts, meet and greets, and the entire Ring of Honor, Sea of Honor tournament is all included in the price of your cabin. We're setting sail October 27, 2018. But if you book your cabin by January 15th, you'll get a picture of yourself with the list and me. You want to put your name on the list? You can do that too. And if you book one of the first 400 cabins, you can be part of an exclusive Q&A with me. There's still a little bit of room left, but you better hurry. Go book it now, ChrisJerichoCruise.com, and you'll be able to hang out on the ship with all of these incredible guests, our hosts, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, SoCal Val, special cruise director, then so many Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio. We got Killing the Town will be there with Cyrus, Keeping It 100, Conan, Disco Inferno, Shane Helms, Beyond the Darkness will be there, Tim and Dave telling some scary tales, Brad Williams doing comedy, Ron Funch is doing comedy, Jim Brewer doing comedy, along with Jim Brewer playing some great music with his great rock and roll band, The Loud and Rowdy. Busted Open will be there joining the festivities. Also rocking Fozzy, Judas number 5, and by then Painless hopefully will be number 1. Let's see what happens. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, straight from Motorhead onto the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager. King, you got to go to GoFundMe and help the guys in King recoup some of the losses. They just had $75,000 of their gear stolen, which is total BS. They're a great guys, great working rock and roll band. Whoever stole their stuff, go give it back. In the meantime, go to the GoFundMe page, help King recoup some of their livelihood, basically. The Dives will be rocking, featuring Evan Stanley. Dave Spivak Project will be rocking, featuring Speedy. The Darlings of Rock and Roll, the Cherry Bomb, Shoot to Thrill, AC/DC cover band, Blizzard of Oz, World's Best Ozzy Osbourne cover band, DDP doing yoga on the ship, and of course, Ring of Honor presenting the Sea of Honor tournament aboard the ship. Matches will be happening in the middle of the ocean on a ring on the ship, and the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship title shot in the future. The Young Bucks will be there. The villain Marty Scurll. The American Nightmare Cody, don't call me Rhodes. Cody's wife Brandi Rhodes. The Briscoe Brothers. Dalton Castle. They've also just joined the Sea of Honor tournament. We'll be announcing more big talent in the upcoming weeks. And don't forget, most importantly, Alpha versus Omega, January 4th, the Tokyo Dome. Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega, the double main event along with Okada and Naito. Subscribe to New Japan World to see it. So many great things coming up. And coming up on Wednesday, oh, this one is huge. I'm so excited about this one. Who we got coming up on Wednesday? The Fonz. How about that? That's right. Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Arthur Fonzarelli is going to be here. Hey, until then, I'm so excited. It's one of my childhood heroes in the flesh, in person, and he's a great, great guy. He will be here on Wednesday. Until then, have a safe weekend. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. See you on Wednesday.